I like whenever we introduce, or whenever I introduce myself to people over here, obviously, men, we will shake hands. But when I'm introducing myself to a woman, I will say, I'm a hugger. Is that okay? Like, because they'll extend their hand, you know. And then earlier today, Pastor Daniel, I stepped on his foot. He's like, yeah, men aren't supposed to hug or something like that. I was like, so funny. How's everybody doing this morning? Good? Yeah? Man, I got to tell you, I was sitting in that chair, and actually, I told Jordan this morning, right after I ate my breakfast sandwich, oh man, I got hit with the tiredness, and then I started getting hit with doubt. Then I started getting hit with just all of these things that were telling. I was like, be quiet, you know, and I really gotta let you guys know is that through the doubt, it just like Aaliyah's drama that we saw last night, man, you gotta push through. Yes. I wanna say that to you guys here in this house this morning, is that when you're feeling like you can't, you can. Because He can. Yes. All right? And so this morning we're gonna see what God does, and we prepared, and we're gonna get this done. And I'm so excited. We are on the final day of Missions Conference. Let's read this verse one more time. Acts 1:8. It probably will be up there, but it says this: "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the ends of this earth." Amen. The first night, for those of you that weren't here, I talked about the move of the gospel. And how it started off some 2,000 years ago in Jerusalem with Jesus. And how Jesus showed us through His life and through His ministry what the gospel would look like. Yeah, I quoted this verse in Acts 10. It says, Jesus went around doing good, healing all who were oppressed by the devil, because God was with Him. He was anointed for that. That word Christ, that wasn't His last name. It's a title. Yeah, it wasn't Jesus Joseph and Mary Christ. Yeah. That's His title. That's His anointing. Amen. And for us, we got to know that we have that same anointing because He lives in us. Yeah. Quick little testimony. Pastor Greg talked about how over 96% of the Hawaiian people, man, we were primed for the gospel, giving their lives to Jesus. And one of our princesses, Princess Kapiolani, I might be wrong, but how many of you guys know that in Hawaii, prior to the missionaries coming, there were other gods, right? And one of the gods that they believed in was this god named Pele. And there's all of these superstitions with Pele, like you kind of do this, you kind of eat the berries by the volcano, or this and this. But here comes Kapiolani, one of the princesses that the people adored. She gave her life to Christ, and she goes, I want to show you guys that these gods that we used to worship are not real gods. I will go there to the volcano, and I will show you. She goes up, and all of a sudden, she's approached by this prophetess of Pele. And the prophetess starts calling her out and saying, no, you cannot come here. Pele will strike you down, and this and this. And she goes, she turns to her people and says, listen, I'm going to come here, and I'm going to show you. If when I come and Pele does strike me down, go ahead, you follow the old gods that we used to follow. If my God shows up the way I know my God will show up, you will no longer follow the old gods. You will follow our new God, our God that we've been waiting so long for, the God that we knew that was coming, Io, through His Son Jesus. You are going to follow the Palapala or the Bible. So she comes up and oh man, I love her boldness that she gets. She calls out to the prophetess, who are you? One in whom the goddess dwells? What she's saying is, who are you? Does your God dwell in you the way that my God dwells in me? And then all of a sudden, the stuff starts happening. She starts trying to quote some stuff or whatever, and then and Kapiolani busts out the Bible and she starts quoting verses. And all of a sudden, that woman was delivered. She says basically what Jesus says to the people that He heals. go and sin no more. Believe, she says, believe in the Palapala. Believe in the Bible. Read it. Do what it says. Crazy stuff, yeah? To have that boldness when we go out. That we talked about to the ends of the earth, right? We are the ends of the earth. And I talked about last night about how if we want to go to the ends of the earth, we need to have a driving force behind us. What is that? We need to know, we need to have a heart for the message that we bring. We need to know it backwards and forwards. And how do we know that? We know it by experiencing it. How did the gospel affect your life? How did the gospel affect your life? That's how it, and what he can do for me, he can do for you. He did it for me, so he can do it for you. He did it for her. He did it for her. He did it for him. He can do it for you. I didn't go through this. I didn't go through abuse and all of this stuff, but I know somebody who has, and I know my God has delivered her. And if he delivered her, you're no different than she was. And he can deliver you from it. That's the message that we come with, yeah? So tonight I want to continue that just a little bit. And I want to talk about using that message to reach your earth, where you are. For those of you guys that don't know, I'm from Maui. I'm from Hawaii. I was born and raised there. I had a little itching to stand up when Pastor Daniel said, were you born in another nation? Because some people in the mainland do not know that the kingdom of Hawaii is a nation. It was, we won't go there, but it is a nation. Amen? But then I got to stand for the second part because I'm a first generation Filipino American. My mom was born and raised in the Philippines, and I got to stand for that one, so that's pretty cool. And I think my mom is watching right now. Hi, mom. Hi, dad. I love you guys. But again, this man, Daniel, you threw me off so hard with this theme. And everybody I talk to, when they're like, oh, cool, you're going to preach at a conference. What's the theme? And I tell them the theme. They're like, what does that mean? And I'm like, I don't know. But we're about to find out, you know. And I was telling Daniel this cool new thing that I started doing is I started writing down my prayers. Like whenever I have a moment of quiet or whatever at work, I'll bust out a journal or even a piece of paper that I have in my pocket, and I'll just begin to start glorifying God on it, just writing on it. You are my God. If you are for me, you are, who can be against me? That you are, I love you so much with all my heart. And I started writing this over and over again. We are the ends of the earth. We are the ends of the earth. I have about 20, 30 papers still at home with notes jotted all over them about what this means. And I talked a little bit about it tonight. And God led me to this revelation is that we all grow up. Like I said, I grew up on Maui. I can distinctly remember driving to take my dad to work. And in Hawaii, we're kind of bad with directions. We use landmarks. We don't use street names most of the time. So it's like, okay, oh, how do we get to the airport? All right, so we're at the church. Okay, go up the road. When you pass the bridge, take a right. You'll see King's on the right. Take a left. You're going to go left, and we just start going off, you know? And so I'm on the 5 mile. For those from Maui, you know that, or Highway 380. I only know that because my mom guys used to call it. Oh, we'll go meet on 380. But we're going there. And on the mountain, on the West Maui Mountains, there's this big golf course and there's this big white building. And I can distinctly remember me being a real young kid in elementary school and literally thinking that that was the White House. You laugh, but I mean, for real. Because Maui is all I knew. That was my earth. That was my world. I mean, I see things on the news and stuff, but in my little brain, Washington D.C. was on the mountain. You know what I mean? Like, Everest was Haleakala. You know what I mean? Like, why are these guys trying to climb it? We can drive up there. You know what I mean? Like, and I started thinking that my earth looks different than your earth. Yeah? What does your world look like? How are you going to reach it? You know, I talked about the missionaries. I got to talk to Pastor Ron, wherever he is out here. There you are. And he was talking about, you know, how we were just talking about our ministries. And I told him, you know, you guys inspire me to reach my community, my Maui, my Wailuku, my Happy Valley, my Mukuhao, the way that you reach out to your community in Tikate. You know what I mean? Like, I just get these visions of seeing the housing that's across the street from my church no longer fighting or doing drugs, and the housing up the road, or the kids at my school no longer telling me about how they're afraid that their mom and dad are fighting every night and they don't know what to do. Or fifth graders that are resorting to cutting themselves. Fifth graders! Guys, this is all around us. We live in America. We're so cherished and you gotta get it in you, man, that there is hurt and there is pain all around us. And that God has placed you into your earth to be His hands, His feet, His voice, His love, wherever you go. You gotta do it. You gotta be it. Growing up on Maui, I was really sheltered. Me, Aaliyah, and Auntie Bev were driving to go get tacos last night, and she was telling us this little story. She goes, when I used to live here and I used to go to Bible college, I used to be deathly afraid of things, little animals jumping in my car while I was waiting. And so one night, she goes, I was at this stoplight, and we're by, like, Walmart in Poway, and she's like, I swear I heard something moving in the passenger side seat. So I, like, didn't waste any time. Like she said, she swerved out of the road. She like just threw her car in park, jumped out and freaked and screamed at the top of her lungs. She's like, and come to find out, it was a water bottle rolling back and forth in the passenger seat. And I go, man, I've never grew up with that fear. I said, man, I live in Maui. I don't even lock my car. You know what I mean? I don't worry about snakes. I don't worry about all this. You know, but what is your world? What does your world look like? I was raised in a different culture than you were. You know? What is the culture that you were raised in? We learned last year at the conference about the Joshua Project, right? That nations were cultures. You know what I mean? And there's actually an app that you can download that will tell you of the nation to pray for or the culture to pray for that day. Who would have thunk? You know? Pretty cool. My earth looks different than your earth. Today we're going to talk about developing a heart for your earth. Yeah? Missionaries that are amongst the world. Man, where your earth in Tikate, you know? Pastor John, your earth all over the world with your airplanes, you know? And you're doing it. You're reaching your earth. And God wants to know, how are you going to continue to do it? He wants you to put that fire, continue to stoke that fire so you can continue to do it and inspire people like us to reach our earth here, you know? Pastor Greg, he taught me this quote. I'm not sure. I think it might be a Bible verse. I tried to look it up. There's kind of like, it might be a weird translation or whatever. But he says, it could be the PG version, yeah? Pastor Greg version. He does that a lot. But he says this, you cannot redeem that which you do not love. You cannot redeem something that you do not love. There's this one kid in our youth group, and boy, oh boy, oh boy, does he sometimes make me almost lose my salvation. You know? But I get hit with this quote, you cannot redeem that which you do not love. If I want to be Jesus' hands and feet where I go like I want to be, then I got to develop a heart for this young man. I got to develop a heart, a love for this community that I'm in, you know, for my church, for my people, you know. Which brings us to our key verse tonight, or excuse me, this morning. I'm a night speaker at home as well. Ezekiel 37. It says this, the hand of the Lord was upon me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. He led me back and forth among them, and I saw a great many bones on the floor of the valley, bones that were very dry. He asked me, Son of man, can these bones live? I said, Sovereign Lord, you alone know. Then he said to me, prophesy to these bones. and say to them, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says to these bones. I will make breath enter you, and you will come to life. I will attach tendons to you and make flesh come upon you, and I will cover you with skin. I will put my breath in you, and you will come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I was prophesying, there was a noise, a rattling sound, and bones came together, bone to bone, and it looked like tendons. It's just the vision, yeah? When you read your Bible, I want to encourage you, read it with some imagination, because oftentimes we'll just glaze over some crazy things in the Bible, you know, like the virgin birth. How many virgins do you know that has given birth? None. It's kind of, you know what I mean? And so read your Bible with the imagination to really grasp and get in awe of what God can do. Because I don't know about you guys, but bones come into bones, and all of a sudden the skin flapping out of nowhere, and you know what I mean? Man, that's the vision I get. Like, you see the bones start coming all over the place. Like, one's coming straight out of Pastor Doug's under his feet, and one's coming from over here, and they go boom, and it's like, that's his vertebrae, you know. And man, get into it. Get into it, man. I looked, and tendons and flesh appeared on them, and skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said, prophesy to the breath, prophesy to the wind. Son of man, say to it, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Come, breath. Come from the four winds and breathe into these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he had commanded me, and breath entered them. They came to life and stood up on their feet, a vast army. Then he said to me, son of man, these bones were the people of Israel. They say our bones are dried up and our hope is gone. We are cut off. Therefore prophesy and say to them, this is what the sovereign Lord says, my people, I'm going to open your graves and bring you up from them. I will bring you back to the land of Israel, and then you will be my people, and you will know that I am the Lord. When I open your graves and bring you up from them, I will put my spirit in you, and you will live, and I will settle in your land, and then you will know that I, the Lord, have spoken, and I have done it, declares the Lord. Great stuff, yeah? Man, everybody say the placing. Everybody say the predicament. That's a pretty big word for me. Number three, everybody say the power. The placement of the prophet. The Message version says, God grabbed me. I don't know about you guys, but I want to be grabbable. When the Spirit of God comes, I want to give him some handles to grab me with, you know? Like, oh, grab me right here. Here's a handle. Love handles. You know what I mean? Ah, that's what they're... Ah, come on, Lord, grab me. The truth is, in this life, there are many, 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 many things that are trying to grab you. Right? And in 2017, it's never been easier. We got social media, we got music, we got television, we got movies, you know. Things that were rated PG now would have definitely been rated R when I was a kid, you know. It's so easy for things to grab you. A little testimony, a while back, maybe about 2 or 3 years ago, that's when I got rid of my Facebook. But I kept making this complaint. I don't have time. I don't have time to read my word. I don't have time to do this. I don't have time to do that. I don't have time to go to the gym. I wake up and I work from 6:30 in the morning. I get off at 5:30 in the afternoon. I'm burnt out. All I want to do go home and veg. You know what I mean? And so that's what I did. And I kept complaining. I didn't have time. Then I would just find myself laying in my bed like this. For hours. Reading everybody's drama on Facebook. Reading about so-and-so and so-and-so and how there's all this drama going on. And God spoke to me. You got time. You got time, son. You just ain't using it right. You know, that's how God talks to me. But I got rid of my Facebook and I got rid of my Instagram and all of this social media because I felt like God was telling me, like, man, you got to prioritize better. You're claiming you don't got time. You got time. You want to be grabbable, but you're saying you're not giving me a handle to grab on. I want to move you, Josh. I want to move you, guys. I want to move you, Pastor Daniel. I want to move you, Nietzsche. But you're not giving me something to grab onto. I want to be grabbable. There are so many things in this world fighting for our attention. And really, that's what the whole message of God is all about, right? It's who's going to get the attention. Who will be worshipped? Are you going to worship God or are you going to worship the world? That's really what it's about. Because we are made and created to worship Him. Yeah? We sing this song in our church. It goes, I was created to make your praise glorious. Man, that's what I was made for. But who am I giving my attention to? Most oftentimes, I'm not giving it to God. We got to set ourselves up, man. We got to set ourselves up to be grabbable. We got to put ourselves in the position. Colossians 3:1 says this. Since then, you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you have died, and your life is now hidden in Christ God. Christ in God. Galatians 2:20 says, yeah, no longer I that live, but Christ in me. It's not about me anymore. Like I said last night, you are not saved for yourself. You have been saved to save others. So everything that you do is now not about you. Yeah? It's about him or her or them or they. Ministry. Minister means someone who can meet your need. How can I meet your need? How can I lay down my time and my effort and my everything that I have so that you can come closer to God? We got to develop a heart, man. Get a heart for the message that you come with. Get a heart for the people that are around you, that are just as broken, that are just as battered and hurt as you once were or even now. Because like we saw in the drama last night, man, or even today, my testimony of being discouraged. I can be in Christ and still get my flesh creep back up on me. You can be a dry bone and still know Jesus. Philippians 4 says this, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think of such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. We got to set ourselves up to be grabbable. We got to make sure that we're in a place that God can use us, yeah? That I want to be. I made it a point when I first gave my life to Jesus. I met Jesus when I was a youth. The whole high school thing where I ran away from those friends and I made other friends and I got into some trouble and yada, yada, yada. Met Jesus again when I was about 18. I fully gave my life to Jesus. And I remember it was funny because I had called one of my friends and I was like, hey, what are you doing tonight? And this is, in this point in my life, it's when I was looking for the drugs. I had dabbled in it. I would do it every so often, but it was at this point in my life is when I actually was craving it and I wanted it all the time. I called one of my friends and he goes, oh, we're going to go to Josh Dela Cruz's church. He has a guest speaker. And I was like, all right, well, you have fun. I'm not going to church. I'm going to go call someone else. And every single person that I called that evening was doing something either I did not want to do or weren't doing anything. And I did not want to stay home, so I called my friend back and I said, all right, I'll meet you guys at the church. Went in there. I grew up a Catholic, so it's a little different than our worship that we experience now, yeah? So sitting there, the message was great, all that stuff. And I remember as soon as the service was done, this feeling in me. I was like, bro, we got to get out of here. And I kept pushing my friend Javier. I was like, all right, bro, we got to go. Let's go, let's go, let's go. But something in me kept saying, you got to say bye to Josh's dad. You got to say bye to Josh's dad. And you know where Pastor Greg is. he's standing at the altar praying for people, right? And so, all right, let's go. Saying bye. And as soon as he brings me in, man, I lost it. I didn't know what happened. All I remember was me bawling like a baby with my hands raised high and just never turned back since. You know? And I made it a point to be at the church every day. I mean, maybe that's not what you have to do, but in my time of my life, I had to make sure that I surrounded myself with everything about God that I could so that I would not have an inkling or a desire or an urge to go back to the life that I used to live. We gotta set ourselves up. Because when God can grab you, He can use you. And when God uses you, He'll lead you. And when He leads you, He'll give you the ways and the means to do the job that He's leading you to do. Yes. Everyone say number two. The predicament. The predicament of the people. Verses 1-4 of our text verse says, "The hand of the Lord was upon me, and He brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me in the middle of the valley, and it was full of bones. He led me back and forth among them, and I saw a great many bones on the floor of the valley, bones that were very dry. He asked me, 'Son of man, can these bones live?'" Can these bones live? Can these bones that are dismembered, like, who knows, man? Maybe this bone, his other part of his arm bone is clear on the other side of the valley, you know? Maybe his jawbone is clearly on this side and the rest of his head is over here. Can these bones that have been dismembered and broken, that are totally dry and totally bare, can they live? That these bones were once people, full of hope, full of joy, full of life, full of purpose, but now they're gone. Totally dry, totally stripped of everything that they once were or once hoped to be. One thing to know is that in this time period when Ezekiel is given this vision, the city of Jerusalem or Judah has been gone. It's been wiped out. The Babylonians came and they conquered, and all that's left in Jerusalem are the people that the Babylonians deemed unworthy or basically, for lack of a better term, dumb. They took all the strong, healthy, smart people, brought them back to Babylon to do whatever they did over there, and they left all the people that they deemed dumb back in Jerusalem. How many of you guys are sitting in here and have had that before, where you have been excommunicated by the friends that you thought were your friends because you were dumb, or you didn't look the right way, or you didn't act the right way, or you didn't, whatever it may be. I've had that before. And then I discovered that I'm big. In intermediate school, I discovered, man, I'm bigger than all these other kids. You want to call me Four Eyes? I'll launch you in the planter box, bro. And I did. And they never messed with me again. But that's not how, you know what I mean? That kind of life leads to that kind of actions. Hurt and pain and aggression. That's just how I was raised. I was raised to be like this because that's how my father was or that's how my mother was. You know? I've been hurt, so you know what? You know what? I'm going to hurt you before you can hurt me. You think you're all bad? I'll show you how bad you are. Come over here. You ain't bad, bro. I'm bad. You know what I mean? And that's what develops out of a hurt heart. That's what develops in all of our hearts. Pastor Greg, he gave me this saying. It says, "Tears are now pain. Anger is past pain that was never healed." How's that one? Bruh, I had some anger in me. Verse 11 says, "And then he said to me, 'Son of man, these bones are the people of Israel. They say our bones are dried up, our hope is gone, and we are cut off.'" The New Living Translation says that they say that we're finished. We have no hope, man. They took all of our smart people. They took all of our best, man. And now I'm here and I'm worthless. And what am I going to do? My city's broken. My temple's gone. How am I going to praise God when they burnt all the gold off my temple walls? Look around. This is our world. This is the earth that we live in. You know? One of my coworkers, I noticed that she had been a little bit more distant lately. And I went in and I asked her. I said, hey, Atihana, everything okay with you? She goes, you know, I can't handle this. I can't do this anymore. You know, I disciplined my son at home, and then he went to school, and he told the counselor, and now CPS took my son. You know, and what am I gonna do? I don't know what to do anymore, Josh. I feel like giving up. I feel like committing suicide. And I was like, oh my goodness. I just told her, I said, Auntie, please, whatever you do, don't do that. Because this is here and now, but I gotta tell you, man, it's not the end. This is not the end of your story. This is just a paragraph. And I gotta let you know, Auntie, that I cannot see myself at working here at Wailuku Elementary School without you here. You bring me such joy and such excitement when I see you. I love to just talk with you and see how you're doing. Without that portion, without you in my life, I would be broken. I want you to know that I'm praying for you, and that I have a Lord and a Savior in Jesus Christ, and that He can meet you where you are. That He can take that pain from you. And we prayed together. And you know what? Things started happening. She started saying about how she wants to come to church. She never did come, but she got her son back. She goes, you know what is weird, Josh? My son was walking, because the school that he goes to is down the road. He comes up after school. This elderly lady just randomly gave him a Bible. And I was like, this wasn't random. It wasn't random. You know? And we're reading it together at home. And I told him that, hey, if we get questions, Uncle Josh at work can help us understand it. Man, that's how you can reach your earth. You got to take notice of the things that are around you, the people that are around you. If you see somebody that's just a slight bit off than you normally know them, man, talk to them. Build a relationship with them. See how they're doing. And try to dig there a little bit. You know? Find out what's going on with them. Proverbs 17:22 says, a cheerful heart is good medicine, but a crushed spirit or a broken spirit dries up the bones. Right now, God wants us to realize and really get a grasp of the desperate need of the people and a desperate condition of the people around us. Number three, the power of God. Son of man, can these bones live? Man, if you're grabbable, God will lead you. He's going to lead you to specific people in your world to speak to speak life into, yeah? Speak life to the deadest, darkest night. Man, I could be that light to that person. Be observant. See what's going on. Yeah? You have that treasure, that message inside of you that they desperately need. And it starts with a relationship that you build with them. Yeah? Like Pastor Greg said to Josh, Aaliyah, and Joe, your job isn't to be a friend. Or your job isn't to have friends. Your job is to be a friend. Amen? Be a friend. As my worship team comes up, we're going to sing this song. And it's a song called Dry Bones. And the writer of this song talks about how she felt this need. She sees the world around her, Christians and non-Christians, broken and bruised and hurt. And she wants to, God led her to this vision of Ezekiel. And she has that power to prophesy life into them. She has the gift of the gospel to give to them. And she's calling out with all she has to come alive. Come alive, come with me. Come with me. Psalms 118 says, I will not die, but I will proclaim what God, the Lord, has done for me. Exodus 9:16 says, I have raised you up for this very purpose, that I might show you my power and that my name will be proclaimed through all the earth. That's the heart of this message, this whole conference is this, is to know how far the gospel has come. Know that it still needs to go further. That he is giving you this power of the gospel to reach, seek, and save the lost in your world.
Yes.
And that he has a calling for you to reach other earths outside of your Jerusalem. Amen. In this time, I want us to worship together. And if you feel God's prompting to come up and just worship here at the altar area, please, by all means, come up. And right now, I just pray, Jesus, that your spirit would come. That your spirit would just... And Lord, if there's anyone in the crowd right now that's feeling these feelings of being, of hurt and pain and brokenness, that they don't know what to do, that they're just doubting themselves right now, I pray that your sovereign spirit, your voice, your wind, your spirit would breathe life into them right now, God. That you would draw all men, you would draw everyone to you, God, because your arms are open wide, Father. I just pray right now in Jesus' name that you would do that here and now. Let us worship together. Jesus' name.